Stuff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.
Let's catch up with the expert who knows all about it, Alex Elliott. Morning, Alex.
Morning, Steve.
I'm not so sure he's the most popular winner at the end of the day. I mean, everyone had smiles and they're vaguely delighted, but I think the Americans were desperate for Ricky Fowler to do the job.
I agree. I mean, obviously they're probably happy that I think an American won over an Englishman, but I think the whole crowd and even the tournament kind of wanted Ricky Fowler to win. He's been close on several occasions now and he just doesn't seem to have that little bit to get across the line. I don't know quite what it is.
Where did Brooks Koepka come from in this championship then? Because no one was really talking about him too much over the first couple of days.
No, but he's a young man who's basically learnt his trade on the Challenge Tour and over on the European Tour. So he's been very good in his golfing education. He's gone to Europe, he's learned to play in the wind, whereas in America, you kind of see the same golf courses every week. So he's learned his trade over in the Europe. He's won twice in Europe and then won once in America. So he's got some pedigree. I mean, for me, he's a very, very good player. He's talented. He's got everything you need to be a major champion. I mean, he hits it a long way. He's got the accuracy and he's definitely got the putting for it as well. I think this could open the floodgates for him. I think everybody knew he was good, but he kind of still needed to prove it. And now he's done that. I definitely think people won't write him off for the next few majors this year.
Wow. So open the floodgates. So you expect him to record a few more major wins?
Maybe not this year, but definitely over his career, yeah. I definitely think he will. I mean, if you look at his stats this week, he hit 88% of fairways and an average drive of 307 yards, and that's just outstanding. And they're in the rough, as thick as it was, as we spoke about on Thursday. So to sit on that tee, and especially after what Rory said, that we all should hit it, and then he missed the cut, and he still stuck there and delivered.
Let's talk about Tommy Fleetwood. Brought him up at the start of the championship. He fell just short of becoming the only the third Englishman after Tony Jacklin in 1970 and Justin Rose in 2013 to win this title since 1925. But what an awesome performance by Tommy.
I know, he just looked so calm all week. Like, even watching from a Thursday and Friday, he just looked like he deserved to be there, and he knew that he felt like he belonged to be there. And it was only his second US Open appearance, so to be that comfortable and his second appearance and to finish so high up, I mean, it's only got to mean good things. Like we spoke about last time about his friend being his caddy now, and I think that relationship they got is calming. He just knows where he is. He knows his game. And if you watch some of the tees, yeah, Tommy's not long, but he's not short. He just played his game. He didn't try and get involved with Koepka, which he could have easily done, and trying to fly some of the bunkers. He played to his strengths. And I definitely think coming up to Birkdale, home course, he's got to be up there as one of the favourites from Europe.
Yeah, he looks cool as well, doesn't he? He's a bit of a poster boy. I think the world of golf needs a bit of a Tommy Fleetwood there. You know, yeah, as you mentioned there, going to Birkdale, all of a sudden the attention on him is massive now.
Yeah, and I hope that doesn't get the better of him. I don't think he will. I think he's very much a level-headed guy. And I saw his interview afterwards and he said, I mean, I can't be upset with finishing fourth. I've had a fantastic week. It's only something to build on. And like Ricky Fowler, you've got to put yourself an opportunity week in, week out. And hopefully, one time you'll get over the line. It's not something that, I mean, obviously, Brooks Koepka's got over the line very early, but general things, general speaking, you've got to give yourself probably five or six more chances, get comfortable in that position in order to deliver on the final day.
But where does this championship go down in history? I mean, people talked for quite a while after Dustin Johnson won last year's US Open. There was a whole load of storylines that went around it. Is this more sort of one of those championships that fades a little bit into the background?
I definitely think so. I think, for me, it all started at the start of the week. I mean, Augusta's got its own theme tune, or Avenue, you've got your daisies, you've got all the flowers and everything, and it's got its own theme tune, whereas the US Open kind of theme tune is a bit of moaning, and especially this week with the rough. I kind of think this is going to go under the radar. I mean, Chambers Bay was known for the bad greens. Last year was known for Justin Johnson. This is no disrespect to Brooks Koepka, but I think it's not going to be remembered as one of the leading ones purely because I don't think he was the favourite to win, like you said, Steve.
What about Erin Hills as a golf course? Did it pass the test?
Definitely. I think it played a lot different on the final day, though. You saw, like, only Koepka and Matsuyama were the two lowest scores of the day, -6 and -5, whereas on the Saturday, Justin Thomas had a 63. It kind of showed how difficult he was playing, and instead of guys making birdies going forwards, it was kind of hold on to your score, make your par, and if you kind of hold a few putts, then fantastic. But as a golf course, I definitely think it passed. It was one of the better ones for me, just purely because we saw birdies. Very often the USGA like to see pars when they score, and for me, as a viewer and as a fan, you don't want to see that. You want to see people making birdies and chasing each other down.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.